Our scripture reading today comes from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power over death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord.
Here. Now see, the problem is actually with me. I hint at the gifts, you know? I spill the beans and I ruin the surprise every year. But I can't help it. I love it so much.
Mommy, I need you!
I'm coming, sweetie! Spoiling the surprise kind of reminds me how God works. He likes to hint at big things. Like the way he hinted about that very first Christmas gift. All those years ago, the Lord himself shall give you a sign, and the virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and he shall be called,
do you remember?
Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Yeah, he was preparing the gift, all right. God packed up the greatest gift that the world had ever seen. Not even he could keep it to himself. He gets me. And God didn't just let the surprise slip once. No, he let the cat out of the bag nearly 300 times in the Old Testament. We call them prophecies. But here's the big difference between God's prophecies and just spoiling a surprise. One is giving the gift early, but you don't get to open it. And the other is God giving us a gift of hope while we wait for Jesus to come. Do you see it? He wasn't telling us a secret. He was making us a promise. Because we humans, three chapters into the creation story, we managed to mess it all up. Yeah, we needed saving. Desperately. So, God kept sending us hope through his prophets and messengers. And that hope was the gift of his son, the Messiah. And there will never be greater gift than Jesus. And the cool thing is that hope isn't over. He promises to come again and take us all home. So the gift is just right there. The question is, will you accept it?
Do you remember that feeling as a kid, lying in bed, Christmas Eve? Can't fall asleep because you're so excited about what's to come in the morning. It's just beyond reach. That's the power of hope. That's what keeps us waiting with wonder. But hope gets a little bit harder as we get a little older, doesn't it? We've had enough disappointments, we've seen enough broken promises and enough loss. We start to brace ourselves instead of expecting miracles, even at Christmas. So what does God do? He doesn't give us a pep talk. He sends us a person. He sends Jesus, a baby, born under a Bethlehem sky, wet and wobbly and full of divine promise. As Hebrews reminds us, this child came with a purpose, a mission, to destroy the power of death, to destroy the power of the devil. That's real hope, not the flimsy Christmas morning kind of hope, but the real, gritty, hands in the dirt kind of hope that we all need. It's the kind of hope that puts skin on and walks with us. So let's dig in to what's happening in this passage in Hebrews 2. It's kind of a strange passage, isn't it, to think about during the Advent season? But it's really important, and let's see why. So this passage, it tells us why Jesus had to come, right? It says that he had to become like us in flesh and blood, vulnerable and mortal. He didn't just come to visit. He came to fully participate in our condition. Verse 14 says, since the children have flesh and blood, who's the children? Us, right? We're the children. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. Why? So that he could destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. Right? So Jesus came to be like us, to have the same human body that we had, to be tempted like we were, to live and have the struggles that we did, so that he could destroy the power of the devil. The Greek word for destroy here, it doesn't mean like destroy like annihilate. It means to render powerless, to neutralize. So Jesus came to break Satan's grip, to break Satan's grip on death and on us. And so we see in verses 15 and 16, it says that Jesus frees us from the fear of death. That fear that keeps us enslaved. The fear of losing. The fear of letting go. The fear of dying. And in verse 17 and 18, he says that he became a merciful and faithful high priest. Not distant, but compassionate. Because he had himself suffered. He knew our condition. He wasn't standing far off going, I know what you're going through. Right? He walked alongside and he experienced those same sufferings and those same temptations and those same struggles so that he could be our faithful high priest. Imagine, if you would, a family trapped inside a burning house. Filled with smoke, the heat is intense, and it's so thick they can't find their way out. And now picture the truck comes up the drive, and a fireman is in the truck. The fireman doesn't sit in his truck and get out his megaphone and say, "Follow my voice!" Right? He puts on his gear, and he goes into the fire. And he goes room by room by room until he's found everybody. He doesn't lead them out by asking them to follow his voice. He carries them out. This is what Jesus did. Our world is a mess. Some would say it's a dumpster fire. Right? And Jesus, as a firefighter, goes into the fire. He comes into our mess. He comes into the chaos. He doesn't stand far off and go, okay, I'm going to give you directions, and if you just follow my directions, everything will be okay. No. He comes in, and he goes room by room, and he takes each of us, and he picks us up, and he carries us out. And this firefighter, this Jesus, he doesn't just come out covered in soot. He gives his life to save us. He dies to get us out of the flames. That's what Jesus did. That is hope. So, what does this mean for our souls? What do we do with this? Right? This passage doesn't just tell us what Jesus did, it tells us why it mattered, why it was important. It says that he came to deliver us from fear. How many of us are still quietly living as prisoners of fear? Afraid of failing? Afraid of getting older? Afraid of losing? Afraid of dying? What is it that you're afraid of? Advent is a season that dares to hope in the dark. If you think about the world into which Jesus was born, it was a dark world. The nation of Israel, as they waited for their Messiah, they were occupied by a foreign power. It was occupied, it was anxious, it was dark. And yet, there was hope. Not in a palace, not on a throne, but hope arrives in a manger, a feed trough. So Jesus knows your suffering. He's not far away from your pain. He's experienced the temptation. He's experienced the hurt. He's experienced the loss. So some of you might still feel like you're stuck in that burning house. Grief, addiction, anxiety, loneliness, or maybe just the quiet ache of disappointment. Jesus sees you. He hasn't forgotten you. He's not yelling from the curb telling you to try harder. He's already in with you. And he's ready to show you the way out. See, in a small town sanctuary like ours, when somebody walks through grief, when someone loses a spouse or receives a diagnosis, you feel it in the room. We feel that together. And Jesus feels it too. We talk about that name, Emmanuel, God with us. God for us. God experiences that pain as well. And so what do we do with this? How do we live this out? How do we live with hope in this crazy, messed up dumpster fire of a world that we're living in? You see, hope isn't just something that you feel. Hope is something that you can carry with you into your workplace, into your school, into your home, into your family gatherings during this holiday season. You see, when we live in the confidence that Jesus defeated death, we stop grasping. We stop trying to hold on so tight. We release our grip. We start giving instead of grasping. We speak life instead of fear. We forgive. We serve. We risk loving people that we don't understand. See, in a town like this where people fear change, right? Small town, we're afraid of change and we're afraid of aging and we're afraid of division. we can be hope bringers in this community. That's part of what it means to be the hands and feet of Jesus. When people are afraid, we can bring the hope that he brings. What would it look like this week to embody that hope? Maybe a phone call to someone who's isolated? Maybe a word of encouragement or a sacrificial act of love? See, in our sanctuary, there's wheelchairs, there's walkers, there's canes. Each one tells a story. Some of those stories have pain, but also some of those stories are about perseverance, about fighting through, about living with hope instead of fear. Because even in our weakness, we can be signs of resurrection. Remember that childhood anticipation we were talking about on the night of Christmas Eve? What if we reclaimed some of that wonder? Not in a naive kind of way, but in a deeply rooted, Christ-centered way. What if we regain some of that hope because we remember who Jesus is and why he came, what he accomplished by coming here to live with us? See, Jesus has come, and he's coming again, and in the in-between, he walks with us every day. He's here with us. So when you light that final Advent candle, when you gather at the table for Christmas dinner, or when you sit quietly with your own thoughts, know this: hope has a name. His name is Jesus. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. And he destroyed the power of death. He walks with us in our suffering, and he will come again and make all things new. So don't lose heart. Don't give up. And don't stop hoping. My challenge for you this week: I want you to think about something that you're afraid of. Something in your life where you've chosen fear over hope. And give that thing to the Lord in prayer. Pray about it. Say, God, I don't understand why I'm afraid about this. Or maybe you do know. Maybe you know exactly why you're afraid. And say, God, help me to set aside my fear and help me to have hope in you. And share a word of hope with someone who needs it this week. That might be somebody at your workplace or somebody at your school, or it might be somebody that's sitting in the pew with you this morning. But share a word of hope. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. We thank you that during this Advent season, we remember who you are. That you came in the form of a baby. And we remember why you came. That you came to overcome the power of him who holds the power of death. That you came to render the devil powerless. And that gives us true hope. God, help us to hold on to that hope. Help us to carry that hope with us and to share it every opportunity that we have. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.